And we welcome you. So my name is Pastor Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are new here, we take sermon notes every Sunday. So it helps you learn what we are learning and to take it with you this week. There's discussion questions that you could do and connect with over good coffee, maybe today or sometime this week, and some news and notes. So if you want one, just raise your hand. We'll get you one. If you're a digital person, you can get one off our website and all the details are there. Have you ever asked yourself why you go to church? Has anyone ever, you know, you've kind of wrestled through that? Maybe you're here today because a friend has invited you here. Maybe you're here today because you have to. Maybe you are here today because you feel committed to. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, I just love church. That's amazing. Whatever the reasons you are here today, there is a reason why you are here. Now, in a study that started in 1938 by Harvard University, followed 2,000 people for 80 years. And in this study, it just came out in 2018 about the quality of life. Like, what makes certain people successful than others? Why are some people more joyful than others? Why do some people look younger than others? Why do some people actually love life and then other people resent life? And so they walked with people for 2,000 people over 80 years. Two world wars, Trump tariffs, and the digital age, whatever you want to put there, put in the blank. And this one quality came up to the surface. And this one quality helped people be more successful in life, successful in marriages, in families, successful in their mental well-being. People who had this one quality went further, faster, longer in life, and they made more money, they looked younger, and it was this one quality, which is simply having quality relationships with others. Now, this is why God designed the church. This is why you should be here today, to have quality relationship. Now, this is really important because when you look at the old narrative or the ancient early church, is that community always was above the individual. Where in our culture today, it seems like the individual is over the community. And this is where quality relationships fit in. In fact, to Paul, the quality of your relationships here on earth is actually linked to your quality of relationship with Jesus himself. In other words, you can't say to me, hey, I love Jesus, but I don't really like my spouse. Hey, I really want to worship Jesus, but when it comes to liking my family, pfft. Hey, I really like Jesus, what he has done for me, but, you know, I don't want to go to church or go to anything. The quality of the relationships that you have here on earth is actually linked to the quality of relationship you have with Jesus. Now, in ancient Corinth, they really had a hard time understanding this. And so Paul puts it this way in Scripture. It's a hard term in English, but to put on Christ or to wear the clothes of Christ. So this is my winter jacket, and it makes me warm in the winter, and it's getting kind of cold out there. But this is the context of the Scripture, if you can go to that, is to put on Christ. So it's like putting on a jacket. Now, this is what was happening in Corinth, though. They would come to church, they would put on the jacket of Christ, and then Monday morning, they would take off their jacket and say, I'm going to go and continue to be like culture. So people were coming to church on Sunday, but they were totally different on Monday, all the way to Saturday, until they went to church. And we know this because they sued each other in civil court. They sinned against each other. They gossiped. They had social classes in the church. They actually, the Bible says, bit each other, not literally, but figuratively with their words. And so Paul says, this is not how church and quality relationships are meant to be. So how do we actually have quality relationships? Let me put it this way, what was happening in Corinth. We just had communion. Ancient Corinth actually had a meal together, like a church potluck. Anyone like church potlucks? Three people, okay. Now, if you are new here to Home Church, we actually love to eat together. I haven't eaten as much as I have as a local church pastor for the last 20 years like I have here at Home Church. It's amazing. And the food here is amazing. And we have some Omega students from Summit Pacific College who are training to be pastors. We're feeding them after here so that they keep coming to home church. Like, where two or three are gathered, there's always food. And this was happening in the Corinth context. It's great. They would have church potlucks. And usually there's church potlucks because there's no such thing as church. They would usually have it at a place that someone was well off, like a terrace. And they would meet in this terrace and they would have a meal together. But what was happening in Corinth is people would have a potluck together, but then certain people would show up earlier than others. And they would eat all the good food, and then everyone else would show up and see that some of the food was eaten halfway through. It was like us having a potluck with Cinda. God bless Cinda or Danny. Like, they're our hospitality team. God bless you. You are amazing. They're making like sushi or dim sum or pizza or McDonald's, whatever you wanted to call it. And you show up and half the food is already eaten. And the people that you were supposed to eat food with around a table have already left. And you're like, man, I have just experienced FOMO. Like, why did these people have all the good food and now I get to have the half-eaten food? This was happening in ancient Corinth. And this wasn't creating healthy, quality relationships that Harvard talks about, but we also see in the local church context of why you and I should have quality relationship. In fact, that's the number one reason why you should come to church, is you have quality relationship with Jesus so that you can have quality relationship with others, including your spouse, your kids, and each other. It is oxymoron to say, I don't like this person here at church, but I love Jesus. It can't happen that way. You can say, hey, I love Pastor Elise's preaching, but I really don't like Pastor Andy's preaching. And I'm just going to show up when that happens. No, that's not what church is meant to be. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. He uses an image of what it means to be the church and experience church. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you don't have one, there should be one in front, the seat in front of you. Feel free to take that. That's our gift to you. And if you want to do digital, you can have it also on the screen behind me or in your sermon notes. But let me just unpack this really quickly. Why do we go to church for Paul's sake? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 14, so that the body is not made out of one part, but of many. Now let's pause here really quickly. What he's trying to say is you don't have to come to church to be like Pastor Andy. There's only one Andy. Thank God for that, right? There should be individuals that are more and more alike, not because we should be alike, but because of Jesus. There's only one Ed. There's only one Pastor Elise. There's only one you. But here he's saying you don't have to be like others. We are a body of believers, he says in verse 15. Now that the foot should say, because I'm not a hand or Andy, I should not belong to the body. That's not true. We are all put together because of Christ. So what we see here with Paul is that here at home church as well is we're made up of many individuals, but working in unison together. The local church context, as we see as a body, is not just a bunch of believers together attending church and then taking off. It's that we are individuals in unison working together. We are designed to contribute to one another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. I've used this illustration before, but you probably have a digital device. As any digital device, you have a home screen on it, you have a password on it, you have your own apps on it, and it's called an iPhone. I have an iPhone. But we do the same sometimes with God. We personalize what we love about God and what we don't love about God. It's like, yeah, I want to experience God's presence, but you're telling me to love my enemies? That's really hard to do. Yes, that's true. Or to forgive those that have hurt us? You're telling me to do that, Jesus? Yeah, there's some hard things in Scripture, but we are not meant to choose what we love about Scripture and what we don't love about Scripture. So we consume God, or we consume religion. We can even consume relationships like Corinth was doing. And Paul is saying, no, you are in unison with one another. You're not there just to be happy. You're there to practice the ways of Jesus, which makes you and I holy. And when we work in unison with one another to encourage one another, and as we come to church to encourage one another, you experience God's presence in a very beautiful way. But not only are we called to be in unison, we see in verse 17 that the whole body were an eye, it would be really weird, right? Like there's more parts to the body. And so as we see in the local church, as well as here in home church and in Corinth, that we are made out of different types of individuals, unified because of Christ. So not only are we in unison in mission, but we are united together because of Christ. In other words, it's okay to be different. It's okay to come from different backgrounds and different contexts. Even if you are not a follower of Jesus, you should feel belonged in the local church context because we are a welcoming community. The number one reason why I stayed in church was because of friendships. I don't know about you, but what I loved about church was my friends. So I became a follower of Jesus when I was 16 years of age. Believe it or not, I really had long purple hair. I don't know. I couldn't find a picture I would have shown you. And I didn't know Jesus. I had a really bad outlook on life, a bad attitude. But the church loved me in the midst of it. And so one of my pastors taught me how to pray and connect with God and hear from God. Another pastor helped me understand how to read the Bible and be transformed out of my bad attitude and character. Some of my best friends to this day are still from that local church. I met my wife, Annick, for the first time in church. So if you are single today, the best place to find a spouse is actually in local church because you find quality, not quantity. Tinder will give you quantity. The church will give you quality. Hear that. It goes a long way when you are in local church. It's not just me. It's other people in this room that can say the same. Their best quality friendships they have found is in the local church. Science, Harvard has said the same thing. I don't know what else to say. It's not necessarily just an ideal. It's actually real. And if you allow people in your life, they will support you, they will encourage you, they will be with you. And I grew up playing sports, I had friends all over the place, but they were shallow relationships. They were not deep relationships that loved me just for who I am. And God designed the local church for you and I to lift and build each other up. It can, should be, the best place on planet Earth when the local church works right. So, how is your relationships? How's your relationship with your spouse? How's your relationship with your kids? How's your relationship with your roommates, classmates, or bathroom mates, if I can put it that way? Summit. What does that look like? Is it quality? Because it reflects our quality of relationships with the Lord. It doesn't mean that we need to be perfect. It means we move towards being like Jesus. This is why we should go to church. So why should you and I go to church today? Is it to hear a message and to participate in communion and some great worship? Is it to participate in some food and snacks and coffee? Well, ultimate purpose is for you to build quality relationships with others that reflects a quality relationship with the Lord. And so Paul continues in this imagery of the body. He says, if we were all one part, why would we be the body? And verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. In other words, we all need each other. I don't need Andy, or I don't need Ed, or I don't need Annick. I don't need worship. I just personalize it to my own being and wants. That's what was happening in Corinth. We do that in our context too. I like this church. I don't like that church. I like that preaching. I like don't like that preaching. No, its context is to be more like Jesus. And home church, just like the context of Corinth, or any local church, are made of many different parts of individuals towards the personhood of Jesus. Now, the English translation has a hard time with this, but personhood, as we see through Scripture, is that context of putting on Christ. It's like a cloth or like, you know, and we put clothes on to make ourselves look good. I don't know if this jacket makes me look good. It's up to you to decide. But in any context, we put jackets on to keep us warm, but we're putting on clothes. It gives us a sense of identity and who we are and how we reflect. And even though sometimes the Corinth church got this wrong, we sometimes get this wrong because we think church is an event or a service or something we do and we check off and we walk out not consciously sometimes or intentionally, but subconsciously we take off the clothes of Christ and we put on the clothes of culture instead. And Paul is saying here, as the body of Christ, you are a new creation. In other words, you can't put off the clothes of Christ. You either put it on or you don't. And the only reason you see the difference is if you are becoming more like Jesus, the personhood of Jesus. So this gives me a great opportunity as a follower of Jesus, not just a pastor, to be Jesus when I'm at the gym, when I'm Jesus, if I can, with my kids or with my spouse or with any context that I'm in. It's actually amazing reality. This week, we had the honor to do a memorial for Frank Lung. I knew him as Golo, which means tall man. He was actually really tall. Anyone's taller than me, by the way, but any context, Golo was quite tall. And we did a memorial here at this church. I didn't really know him too much because I've only been here for a couple years, going into my third year now of many years. So you're stuck with me. That's the local church thing. But in any context, what this looked like is we gathered together to celebrate a person. But what was beautiful is that the church came to support and celebrate with Frank. Now, Frank was a follower of Jesus, but he wasn't always a follower of Jesus. And he learned how to be Jesus later on in his life. But after his second marriage, his wife passed away. And he says in his own words, he would say it to me too, I have found family at this church. I gave my life back to the church. I'm a better person because of it. I'm a better dad because of it. And if for a season, the church even came around him to help him parent his two daughters as he's grieving his second wife who passed away from cancer. That's a beautiful picture of the local church. Now, you might not necessarily like the local church. Maybe the local church has hurt you somehow. Maybe Sundays you would rather have coffee, tea, and watch the Canucks or watch football or be outside when it's nice and sunny and swim across the ocean. I really don't know what your thoughts are, but this is what Pastor Paul puts in this context. He says it this way, but God has put the body together. In other words, you're not here by accident. You and I have been put together, whether you like it or not, Paul says, to be the body. You're not going to rip a body part off. Like, that's kind of morbid reality. But that was actually happening as well in the Corinth context, spiritually and relationally. So Paul says, whether you like it or not, I'm putting this in my own words, you are the body of Christ. And how you treat one another is actually how you see a quality relationship with Jesus. That's what he's saying in this context. He's saying that the quality of our relationships are divinely orchestrated, not just to attend church, but to be the church. You and I are called to be the body, not just Andy, not just a board, not just volunteers, you and me, whatever that context looks like. And I know there's visitors here today, or maybe you're checking out home church, but you are divinely here for a reason and a purpose to hear today's message. It's from Jesus. You are here for a divine reason. So let's talk about home church really quickly. What is home church? What does this look like here where God has divinely put us in a strategic place like Maine and 18th? Well, if you're new here, home church is actually an acronym that means Hope on Maine and 18th. And when you think of home church, you are and I am invited to find hope in Jesus every day. So the first thing that home church represents is to find hope in a person named Jesus. Not in wishful thinking, not in a fleeting thought, not in getting a girlfriend or winning the lottery, but a person named Jesus. Because he gives eternal hope. As you see in the scripture behind me, this is what Paul says as well. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what home church represents. He is linking, Paul, that hope in Jesus brings joy and power in the Holy Spirit. This is for you as well. But not only is our invitation to find hope in Jesus, it's to live in hope through Jesus. In other words, to walk in hope. It's not just putting on the clothes of Christ, which is hope. It's to walk in hope in everyday life. So again, we see this with Peter, who's another good friend of Jesus. So Pastor Vincent talked about how he had communion together, the Last Supper with his best friends, his family. Peter was there. And Peter puts it this way: praise to be the God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, a new way of living, through a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. So this means that this hope that we find in Jesus is not just a person, but it's living hope. It's a hope that never dies. Winning the lottery will die one day. Having a great girlfriend, boyfriend will die one day, but Jesus never dies. Hope in him will never die. And if you want quality relationship with Jesus, it will outflow to having quality relationship with others. And then this final imagery that we see with the church is not just the invitation to find hope in Jesus or the invitation to walk with Jesus, but we have an invitation to give this eternal and living hope to others because of Jesus. In other words, it's good news. It's good news. So yesterday, we had a pumpkin patch. We had over 600 neighborhood people come through our pumpkin patch just to experience the generosity of our church. Well, I'll show a quick little video later on. But at the end of the day, we encourage all our volunteers that this is an opportunity to practically give hope to our community and to our neighbors, because nothing's free in the city, is it? So if you live in the city, you know the air is not even free, but you can get a free pumpkin at home church. And you get a free hot dog and build hopefully quality relationships with others, and that you would find Jesus somehow. But Peter puts it this way: now purify yourselves. It's another concept of putting on Christ. Purify yourselves, because how you do that is obeying the truth or obeying Jesus. And when you do so, you have a sincere love for one another, for each other, deeply from the heart. For you have been born again to find hope, not to perishable hope or seed, but imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. In other words, we are called to bring living hope to others around us. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward and lead us into a song soon here. My question is how is your relationships, friend? How are your relationships? The quality of your relationship with God will reveal the quality of relationships you have here on earth. You can't get around it. With your spouse, with your family, with your children. And you might be here today and you're saying in your mind, Andy, you don't know how hard my relationships have been. You don't know how hard and difficult things have been for me. You don't know how I've been rejected or judged or manipulated. I don't know that, but Jesus does. And you know what Jesus has done on the cross? He was misunderstood. He was judged. He was manipulated, but he had the final say. Because even though people thought that they could crucify Jesus and all of that talk about Jesus would die, he raised again on the third day, a historical fact, a supernatural act. And that's why you and I are here today, because of hope in Jesus. And because of Jesus, he takes our shame, he takes our guilt, he gives us new life, he gives us hope for the future and for the present and for relationships. He calls us to quality relationship with him so that we can have quality relationship with others. That's why we do church. And my invitation to you today is not just to go to church, not just to attend church or participate in church, but to be the church. And maybe you're visiting today and you're not part of home church. That's okay. Be the church wherever God has called you to be. But if you want to build quality relationships, look younger, be more successful, and make more money, then going to church is your best place to be on earth. And if you disagree with me, then go to Harvard. I'll give you the stats. You can email me. Actually, behind here, just email info@ourhomechurch.com. I'll give you the link, okay? If you don't believe Harvard and church has been hard for you, then be the church. Make a difference. Make church better then. Don't criticize. Don't fall away. Lean in. And so, because of a gracious donation, someone has purchased, this one's too big for me, sorry, purchased home church hats for everyone today. So as you leave this place today, you could get a free hat. And when you leave today, you're not just putting on the clothes of Christ, you're putting on home church. And let it be a reminder to you. You don't have to wear it everywhere, but feel free to. I'll wear mine at the gym and I'll give a story afterwards and see what happens. But feel free to take one. And it's a reminder for you to put on hope for your everyday life. Because so often, and all of us have wrestled through this, we treat church as an event and service rather than be the church. And we put the clothes on of Christ on Sundays, but Mondays were totally different. And this hope in Jesus is an opportunity to find quality relationship with Him on Sunday, midweek as well, so that you can have quality relationships every day of the week. So I'm going to ask you to stand, friends. And we're just going to go in time of response. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you. We believe that God's real and that the Holy Spirit lives within us as followers of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus. This is your opportunity to experience hope in a person named Jesus. I'm so thankful at 16 I made that decision, but perhaps you are here today and you need to make that decision to find hope in a person. You put your hope in all these other things and it's let you down, but Jesus won't let you down. And the local church is a beautiful picture of let down people trying to find hope, to make a difference, and to bring hope to others. Maybe you're here today and you feel stuck and you need hope. We're going to have prayer people up here. So my prayer ministry workers, feel free to join up here. If you have a prayer request, we want to pray with you. We want to minister to you. But more importantly than all this, maybe you're here standing where you are and you just need hope. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit will meet you in this song that we sing and that God would whisper to you words of hope today. So God, I pray for every single person in this room. We invite you, God, to meet with the rooms of our own hearts, that we would find hope in you and that we would have quality relationship with you and others. Help us to be a people that are the church rather than just simply show up at church and consume church. And that we would experience living hope every day in our workplaces, in our relationships, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our city. But we invite you, Holy Spirit, just speak to us afresh, to every need and every heart. And as we worship you, that you would speak divinely into every heart and every need in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.